Welcome to Zikhu Daf Siman, member by Avram Goldar, and today Masechta is Gittin, Daf Lamed Vav, the fourth parak HaShaleach. The Zikhu Masechta is Gittin program has been generously sponsored by Zikhu Nishmas Chaya Hadas Basender. So the three topics we're going to focus on, number one, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis Atad, that witnesses sign on a get for Tikkun Olam. The Gemara objects, Doraisahu, it's a biblical requirement to sign all documents, as it says, V'kasu B'Sefer V'chatum, and write in the document and sign. Two answers are offered. Rabbi answers that the Tana is Rabbi Elazar, who holds Eidim Masiri Karti, and signatures are never biblically required, and the Pasuk is only giving advice. The rabbis instituted that witnesses sign a get, de zimnin de maisi zahadi, because sometimes the witnesses to delivery will die, inami zimnin de azgal midin siyam, or sometimes they'll travel abroad, leaving her unable to prove she was divorced. Signing the get provides her with proof of divorce. Rav Yosef says that the Tana can be Rabbi Meir, who requires signing biblically. Still, this biblical requirement is satisfied without writing their names. Iskinushi Edim Mefarshin Shmosen Begin, and they decreed that Edim should write their names when signing Gittin. A brisa teaches that witnesses originally only wrote Ani Ploni Chasamti Eid, I Ploni signed as a witness, which satisfied the biblical signing requirement, according to Rabbi Meir, but posed a challenge to confirm the witnesses' handwriting until they decreed that witnesses must sign their names in order to simplify confirmation by knowing the identity of the witnesses. Pointing to a mission teaches the background of Hillel Zaken's enacting Prusbol. Shorosa Am Shenim Mulavo Zeh. He saw that the people resisted lending each other, fearing that the loan would be canceled by Shemitah, and thus violated the commandment, Yishamer Chapenya Davar Im Levav Chabliyal. Beware lest there be an evil thought in your heart, saying that Shemitah is near, and therefore not lend money. Amad Vihiskin Prusbol. He therefore arose and instituted Prusbol, which the mission describes as submitting his documents to Beis Din to collect the loan for him. The Gemara asks, if Shemitah absolves the loan midoraisa, how can the rabbis decree that it does not? Abaye answers that Hillel holds that nowadays and in his time, Shemitah does not absolve loans biblically, since a different law of Shemitah does not apply, namely the law of Shmatas Karka, relinquishing land from farming. Although the rabbis decreed that loans are canceled by Shemitah as a reminder of the law of Shemitah, Hillel instituted that through the method of Prusbol, they are not canceled. And pointing with you, Rabbi answers that Prusbol is effective even according to the opinion that Shemitah nowadays cancel loans biblically because Hefker Beis Din Hefker, what Beis Din declares ownerless, is actually ownerless. Thus, Beis Din can collect a loan that was biblically canceled by declaring the borrower's property ownerless. Rabbi Yitzchak provided a source for this principle from Ezra's declaring that all returning exiles who would not come to Yerushalayim within 3 days, when he would compel them to send away their Gentile wives, their property would be confiscated. Rabbi Eliezer gave a different source. These are the inheritances given by Elazar the Kohen, Yeshua ben Nun, and the heads of the father's families. Since the meaning of fathers in this context is tribes, why are they called fathers? This teaches, Ma'avos manchim as benen komashi yirtsu, just as fathers may bequeath what they wish to their children and may divide his estate among his children as he pleases, Afrashim manchim ha'am komashi yirtsu, so too the leaders may apportion whatever they wish to the people. So we see that the leaders are empowered to assign the people's property. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah on Dav Lamed Dalet Amud Beis Atad, that witnesses sign on a get for Tikkun Olam. The Gemara objects, Doraisahu, it's a biblical requirement to sign all documents, as it says, V'kasu B'Sefer V'chatum, and write in the document and sign. Two answers are offered. Rabbi answers that the Tana is Rabbi Elazar, who holds Eidim Masiri Karti, and signatures are never biblically required, and the Pasuk is only giving advice. The rabbis instituted that witnesses sign a get, de zimnin de maisi zahadi, because sometimes the witnesses to delivery will die, inami zimnin de azgal midin siyam, or sometimes they'll travel abroad, leaving her unable to prove she was divorced. Signing the get provides her with proof of divorce. Rav Yosef says that the Tana can be Rabbi Meir, who requires signing biblically. Still, this biblical requirement is satisfied without writing their names. Iskinushi Edim Mefarshin Shmosen Begin, and they decreed that Edim should write their names when signing Gittin. A brisa teaches that witnesses originally only wrote Ani Ploni Chasamti Eid, I Ploni signed as a witness, which satisfied the biblical signing requirement, according to Rabbi Meir, but posed a challenge to confirm the witnesses' handwriting until they decreed that witnesses must sign their names in order to simplify confirmation by knowing the identity of the witnesses. Pointing to a mission teaches the background of Hillel Zaken's enacting Prusbol. Shorosa Am Shenim Mulavo Zeh. He saw that the people resisted lending each other, fearing that the loan would be canceled by Shemitah, and thus violated the commandment, Yishamer Chapenya Davar Im Levav Chabliyal. Beware lest there be an evil thought in your heart, saying that Shemitah is near, and therefore not lend money. Amad Vihiskin Prusbol. He therefore arose and instituted Prusbol, which the Mishnah describes as submitting his documents to Beis Din to collect the loan for him. The Gemara asks, if Shemitah absolves the loan midoraisa, how can the rabbis decree that it does not? Abaye answers that Hillel holds that nowadays and in his time, Shemitah does not absolve loans biblically, since a different law of Shemitah does not apply, namely the law of Shmatas Karka, relinquishing land from farming. Although the rabbis decreed that loans are canceled by Shemitah as a reminder of the law of Shemitah, Hillel instituted that through the method of Prusbul, they are not canceled. And pointing with you, Rami answers that Prusbul is effective even according to the opinion that Shemitah nowadays cancel loans biblically because Hefker Beis Din Hefker, what Beis Din declares ownerless, is actually ownerless. Thus, Beis Din can collect a loan that was biblically canceled by declaring the borrower's property ownerless. Rabbi Yitzchak provided a source for this principle from Ezra's declaring that all returning exiles who would not come to Yerushalayim within 3 days, when he would compel them to send away their Gentile wives, their property would be confiscated. Rabbi Eliezer gave a different source. These are the inheritances given by Elazar the Kohen, Yeshua ben Nun, and the heads of the father's families. Since the meaning of fathers in this context is tribes, why are they called fathers? This teaches, Ma'avos manchim as benen komash yirtsu, just as fathers may bequeath what they wish to their children and may divide his estate among his children as he pleases, Afrashim manchim ha'am komash yirtsu, so too the leaders may apportion whatever they wish to the people. So we see that the leaders are empowered to assign the people's property. All right, so now we go to Simmer Dav Lamed Vav, and our standard simmon is a lulav. So here goes. The two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that look like lulavim to sign on a get because of tikkun olam, and then use them to fill in their pruz bowls, were shocked and dismayed when they heard Beis Din declare them hefker, making them hefker. Once again, it's a motion. The two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that look like lulavim, that must be learned off lamed vav, lulav. The two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that looked like lulavim to sign on a get because of tikkun olam, which reminds us, the Mishnah Daf Lamed Daled Amud Beis had taught the aiding sign on a get for tikkun olam. The Gemara objects that it's a derisive requirement to sign all documents. Rabbi answers that the Tanna's Rabbi Elazar holds Edi Masiri Karti, and signatures are never biblically required, and the Pasuk's only giving advice. The rabbis instituted that Edim sign on a get because sometimes the Edim to delivery will die, or sometimes they'll travel abroad, leaving her unable to prove she was divorced. Signing the get provides her with proof of divorce. Rabbi Yosef says that the Tanna can be Rabbi Meir, who requires signing biblically. Still, this derisive requirement is satisfied without writing their names, and they decree that witnesses should write their names when signing gittin. So, the two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that look like lulavim to sign on a get because of tikkun olam, and then use them to fill in their pruz bowls, which reminds us, a Mishnah teaches the background of Hillel Zaken's enacting pruz bowl. He saw that people resisted lending each other, fearing that the loan would be canceled by Shemitah, and thus violated the commandment of refraining to lend money. So the two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that looked like lulavim to sign on a get because of tikkun olam, and then use them to fill in their pruz bowls, were shocked and dismayed when they heard Beis Din declare them hefker, making them hefker, which reminds us, Rav explains that pruz bowl is effective even according to the opinion that Shemitah nowadays cancel loans, because biblically, hefker Beis Din hefker, what Beis Din declares ownerless is actually ownerless. Two different sources for hefker Beis Din hefker are brought. So once again, the two witnesses who proudly use large exotic green quills that looked like lulavim to sign on a get because of tikkun olam, and then use them to fill in their pruz bowls, were shocked and dismayed when they heard Beis Din declare them hefker, making them hefker. All right, so now it's time for four blah blah chazar. Daf Lamed Beis. So the Zimmer Daf Lamed Beis is a lab. So here goes. The scientists at the Green Gittin Delivery Lab, that must be on Daf Lamed Beis. The scientist at the Green Gittin Delivery Lab, observing a husband tell his wife he is voiding the get he sent her before it arrives, which reminds us, the fourth parak begins, HaShaliach get le'ishta, one who sends a get to his wife with the shaliach, and he met the shaliach or sent another shaliach after him, and he said to him, Batuhu, the get which I gave you is void, or is a batel, it's void. Similarly, if he met his wife or sent the shaliach to her and told her the get is batel before it reached her, it is void. So the scientist at the Green Gittin Delivery Lab, observing a husband tell his wife he's voiding the get he sent her before it arrives, gave the man a green check when he said batelhu instead of pasuhu, which reminds us, it was taught in Brisa, if one says batelhu, iifshibo, it is void, or I do not want it, the rabbi kayamim, his words are effective and the get is void. Pasuhu, eno get, lomar klum, but if he said it's invalid or it's not a get, he has said nothing. The former expressions declare the get void henceforth, whereas the latter are describing the get as invalid, which it is not. The Gemara clarifies that the word batel can also mean something was void instead of becoming void. It all depends on context. So the scientist at the Green Gittin Delivery Lab, observing a husband tell his wife he is voiding the get he sent her before it arrives, gave the man a green check when he said batelhu instead of pasahu, and congratulated him on attaining a high score when he used the get again to divorce her, since he only voted the shlichus, which was verbal, and not the get, which was written. Which reminds us, the Gemara asks, chozu umagarjbo or eno chozu umagarjbo? Can he again divorce with the get, or can he not again divorce with it? Rashi explains the question to be whether the get itself was voided and is unusable, or merely the shliach was voided and the get is still valid. The halacha accords with the Rav Nachman, who said he can use the get again. Although the husband successfully voided the shlichus, which was a mere verbal appointment, he did not void the get since it was created through an act of writing. Daf Lamed Gimel. So the Simmer Daf Lamed Gimel is a peg leg pirate. So here goes. And the pirate with the green peg leg. A peg leg pirate? That must be more on Daf Lamed Gimel. The pirate with the green peg leg, who was told by the captive Basin that he was only permitted to void his wife's get in her presence because of Tikkun Olam and the problem of Mamzerim, which reminds us, we have Machlokes whether Rav Gamliel is Tikkun Olam, that one cannot void a get except in the presence of the wife or Shaleach, was out of concern of Mamzerim or Agunos. So the pirate with the green peg leg who was told by the captive Basin that he was only permitted to void his wife's get in her presence because of Tikkun Olam and the problem of Mamzerim, and then grew impatient and was about to be Mavatal the get in their presence in violation of their decree, which reminds us, it was taught in a Brice, Rebbe says, Batul Mavuto, if the husband void the get before a Basin and not in his wife's or Shliach's presence in violation of the decree, it is voided. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says, the get isn't voided, Shim ken makoch Basin Yafe. For if it is, what good is the power of Basin whose decree can be ignored? The Gemara wonders how a get, which biblically speaking has been voided, can possibly affect a divorce based on a rabbinical decree declaring it valid. It explains, called the Mekadosh that died to the Rabbanim Mekadosh, whoever marries, marries according to the rabbi's will, that is, it's made conditionally to conform with rabbinical law. Vafkin Rabbanim Kedushim Ineh, and the rabbis to enforce their decree uproot the marriage retroactively. So, the pirate with the green peg leg who was told by the captive Basin that he was only permitted to void his wife's get in her presence because of Tikkun Olam and the problem of Mamzerim, and then grew impatient and was about to be Mavatal the get in their presence in violation of their decree, was informed that since he asked 10 shluchim to write and sign the get, even if he had done it in the presence of the two that wrote the get, he couldn't be Mavatal, unless they're all present, which reminds us, it was taught in the Braitza, Amr Lassar Kisu Get Leishti, one who said to 10 people, write a get for my wife, where any of them can write it and any two of them can sign it. Rabbi says, Yachul Vato Zesh will be Fnei Zeh. He's able to void the authority of some of them in the absence of the others. Rabban Shimon Gamliel says he cannot void any Shaliach unless they're all present. Two explanations of the Machlokas are given. Daf Lamed Daled, so the Simmer Daf Lamed Daled is a ladder. So here goes. The adult orphan sitting on green ladders. Ladders? That must be more Daf Lamed Daled. The adult orphan sitting on green ladders protesting how their apotropsim had divided up their father's estate, which reminds us, Shmuel said that Yosomim, who are minors who come to divide their father's estate, Basin appoints an apotropos for each of them who choose a favorable portion for them. Shmuel concluded when they become adults, they can protest the original settlement and demand a new division. Rav Nachman says they cannot, deem can, makoch Basin Yafe. For if they can, what good is the power of Basin? Rav Nachman is concerned here with protecting the power of Basin because in the case of orphans, it's a monetary matter, where Basin's power is absolute because of Hefker, Basin, Hefker. So the adult orphan sitting on green ladders protesting how their apotropsim had divided up their father's estate heard a man down below express relief when the shliach returned with his wife's get because she said to come the next day, which reminds the Gemara writes that Gidu Bari Uli sent a get to his wife with the shliach. His wife told the shliach to come back the next day, and when the shliach reported this to Gidu, he exclaimed, Baruch Hatov Bahameitiv, blessed is he who is good and does good. Abai said that although he demonstrated his relief that the get was not delivered, the get is not void and the shliach may give the get. Rav said the get is void. The Gemara explains that Abai holds Gilui Yadai to begit to love Milsi, a show of intent is not significant enough to void a get, and Rav holds it is. So the adult orphan sitting on green ladders protesting how their apotropsim had divided up their father's estate heard a man down below express relief when his shliach returned with his wife's get because she said to come the next day and saw that the get would have been valid because it included all five of the man's name, which reminds us, Rabban Gamliel Hazakin decreed that one must write Ploni and every name that he has, and do the same for his wife as well as their cities. The decree was Mipnei Tikkun Olam for societal benefit because people who know one of the parties by a different name will think she's not divorced, and their subsequent children are Mamzerim. Daf Lamed Hei. So the Siman for Daf Lamed Hei is a children's choir singing la la la. So here goes. after the cute little children's choir, that must be around Daf Lamed Hey, a children's choir singing la la la. After the cute little children's choir in the green outfit sang the While Manas Don't Swear song, while reenacting the accidental baking of a gold dinar and bread, and the sudden death of a child, which reminds us, on the previous daf, the Mishnah taught the basin refrained from allowing an almana to swear before collecting her ksuba, that it wasn't prepaid, until Ram Gamliel decreed that the almana vows whatever the Yisomim wish and collects her ksuba. The Gemara relates the incident that led to this. A man once deposited a gold dinar with an almana, who later accidentally baked it into bread and gave it to a poor person. When she couldn't find it, she swore to the lender that one of her children should die if she benefited at all from it, and subsequently a child died. The Gemara explains that an almana who toils to care for the orphans is more likely to rationalize swearing falsely that she has not collected, feeling entitled to payment for her efforts. So, after the cute little children's choir in their green outfits sang the While Manas Don't Swear song, while reenacting the accidental baking of a gold dinar and bread and the sudden death of a child, a boy sang a solo pretending to be a remarried almana vowing to the orphans to collect her ksuba, which reminds us, Rapuna says, that an almana vows to the Yisomim only if she is not remarried, but if she remarried, we do not have her vow, and she cannot cut her ksuba. The vow does not prove anything because her second husband can revoke it, as opposed to a vow before marriage, which he cannot revoke. Rav Nachman argues and says, Afilo Nises, she may vow to collect even after she's remarried because the vow is made publicly in front of 10 people, and he holds that a neder made publicly cannot be revoked by the husband. So, after the cute little children's choir in their green outfit sang the While Manas Don't Swear song, while reenacting the accidental baking of a gold dinar and bread, and the sudden death of a child, a boy sang a solo pretending to be a remarried almana vowing to the orphans to collect her ksuba, who then details all their circumstances on the neder to get a heter from a chacham, which reminds us, we machokas, one must detail a neder for a chacham's heter. On one hand, sometimes the person might cut out some of the details of his account, and the heter will be invalid. On the other hand, Rapapa says one must detail his neder to a chacham, Mishum Milsa de Isura, because a neder may have been to prevent a prohibited matter, such as our case of potential theft. It's therefore critical that the chacham is informed about the cause of the neder. Alright, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which that the one Rabban Gamliel HaZaken was Matakein, that all the husbands' and wives' names should be written in the get, that's on Duff. I'm a dog. Good number 2. Which Duff do we have a Malchokas? If the husband voided the get in front of Basin and not in his wife's presence, whether the get is Batel, that's on Duff. I'm a Gimel. Good number 3. Which Duff do the incident of the Almana swearing that it led to Basin refraining from making a widow swear before collecting her ksuba, that's on Duff. I'm a Hey. Good number 4. Which stuff we have two different sources brought for the concept of Hefker, based in Hefker, that's on Dov. Amid Vav. Good number 5. Which of the one, if the husband says Batalhu, the get is void, but if he says it is Pasal, he has said nothing, that's on Dov. Amid Beis. Good number 6. Which stuff are two different reasons given as to why Adim sign on a get for Tikkun Olam, that's on Dov. Good number 7. Which duff do we have a machokas if an almana can vow to collect after she remarries? That's on duff. Lamed Hey. Good number 8. Which duff do we have in the background behind Hillel HaZaken's enactment of Pruz Bol? That's on duff. Lamed Vav. Good number 9. Which duff do we have a machokas whether Gilead died to Begitta Milsahi, a show of intent to avoid a get is enough to avoid a get? That's on duff. Lamadal. Good. And number 10. Which stuff do you want if one lost produce set aside to separate Truma Meiser for other produce? If he doesn't know when it was lost, he must be Choshesh. Me Isla Ace, that's on Dov. Lamadal. Excellent. That concludes today's shir. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldhorn from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.